The sound did not belong there. A quiet Texas morning, still dark, still early, then gunfire, sharp, final. By the time the call reached emergency dispatch, the damage was already done. A woman lay outside her home, down near the edge of her driveway. She had stepped out for a routine walk, something she did often, something that never felt dangerous until it was. First responders arrived fast, but not fast enough. The street filled with flashing lights and unanswered questions. Neighbors stood behind doors and windows, trying to understand how violence had landed on a familiar stretch of pavement. There was no struggle inside the house, no forced entry, no sign this was random panic. The timing was too precise, the location too specific. Investigators would soon face the hardest version of a familiar question. Was this planned, personal, or both? By sunrise, one thing was already clear. Someone had known exactly when Maria Beltran would step outside. Chapter 1, 5:32 a.m. At approximately 5:32 a.m., police were dispatched to a reported shooting in a residential neighborhood in Texas. The caller reported hearing multiple gunshots followed by silence. When officers arrived, they found an adult female unresponsive outside her home. She was later identified as Maria Beltran. She worked as a nurse. She was pronounced dead at the scene. Maria's body was located near the driveway area, not far from the front of the house. There were no signs of forced entry to the residence. The front door was closed. The home appeared undisturbed from the outside. Emergency medical personnel attempted life-saving measures, but quickly determined there was nothing they could do. The injuries were consistent with a gunshot wound. No weapon was found near the body. Officers secured the scene and began a perimeter. Yellow tape cut the street in both directions. Patrol units went door to door, waking neighbors and asking the same questions again and again. Did you hear anything? Did you see anyone? Did anything unusual stand out? Most people reported the same thing. They were asleep, they heard gunshots, they looked out too late. The time of day worked against investigators. It was early morning, low light, few people outside, limited vehicle traffic. Surveillance cameras, if present, would need to be identified and reviewed later. Weather conditions were noted. The ground was dry. There was no rain overnight that would have immediately degraded evidence. That fact mattered. Crime scene technicians arrived shortly after patrol secured the area. They began documenting the scene with photographs and measurements. Shell casings were located and marked. Their placement suggested the shots were fired from outside the immediate driveway area. The exact number of shots was not publicly confirmed at that stage of the investigation. Police limited their statements, focusing only on confirmed facts. Maria was dressed in walking clothes, comfortable shoes. Nothing appeared out of place. There were no visible signs of a struggle. This was not a robbery. Her personal belongings were still with her. Investigators established that Maria had stepped outside for an early morning walk, something she routinely did. That detail came from family and neighbors during initial interviews. It was a habit, predictable, consistent. That predictability became a concern. Detectives began building a timeline backward. When she left the house, when the shots were heard, when the first call was placed, every minute mattered. The shooter was gone before police arrived. No suspect was located in the immediate area. No vehicle description was immediately available. Officers searched nearby streets and open areas. They checked for anyone walking or driving who did not belong. Nothing turned up. The absence of chaos stood out. There were no signs of panic, no broken glass, no overturned items. The scene felt controlled, brief, purposeful. Police notified Maria's family later that morning. The news traveled fast. A nurse, a mother, a neighbor, someone people recognized. By mid-morning, investigators made a careful statement. They confirmed the death. They confirmed it was a homicide. They did not confirm a motive. They did not name a suspect. Behind the scenes, detectives were already asking harder questions. This was not a late-night encounter. This was not a bar fight or a chance meeting. This happened at a precise hour outside a specific home during a known routine. Someone had either been waiting or had arrived moments before. Investigators documented possible lines of approach and exit from the scene. They noted where a person could stand without being easily seen. They considered sight lines from nearby houses and vehicles. The neighborhood itself was described as quiet and residential. not a high crime area. That context mattered because it reduced the likelihood of random violence. At this stage, no arrests had been made. No person of interest had been publicly identified. Police emphasized the investigation was active and ongoing. What they did not say was just as important. They did not describe the shooting as random. They did not suggest a robbery gone wrong. They did not indicate the shooter was unknown to the victim. Those conclusions would come later, if they came at all. As the sun rose higher, the street returned to movement. Cars passed slowly, neighbors watched from a distance. Crime scene tape fluttered in the morning air. Maria Beltran's morning walk had ended in a place she believed was safe. For investigators, the first day ended with one dominant realization. This was not about opportunity. It was about timing. Chapter 2. The circle tightens. Detectives shifted from the scene to the life Maria Beltran had lived before the shooting. That transition happened quickly. In cases like this, time mattered. Memories faded. Phones changed hands. Routines adjusted. Maria was described as reliable and consistent. She worked as a nurse, kept regular hours, and maintained a predictable schedule. Coworkers told investigators she was not known for conflicts at work. She showed up. She did her job. She went home. That stability narrowed the field, but did not simplify it. Investigators mapped Maria's daily movements. Work, home, early morning walks, grocery runs, visits with family. Nothing stood out as reckless or risky. The routine reinforced a growing concern. Someone could have anticipated where she would be and when. Family members were interviewed first. These conversations were handled carefully. Detectives asked about recent changes, stress, arguments, fear, any mention of being followed or watched. The answers were consistent. Maria had not expressed concern for her safety. Friends and coworkers were next. Some mentioned the early walks. Some mentioned that Maria liked the quiet before sunrise. No one described threats. No one recalled unusual behavior. That absence became its own data point. Phone records were requested. Investigators reviewed recent calls and messages, focusing on the days and weeks before the shooting. They were looking for patterns, repeated contact, escalation, silence where there should have been none. Digital evidence takes time. Warrants, providers, delays. While that work moved forward, detectives focused on the physical evidence already in hand. Shell casings recovered from the scene were sent for ballistic analysis. The goal was simple: identify the caliber. Determine whether the weapon matched any known firearm in existing databases. At this stage, results were pending. Nearby homes were canvassed again, this time with a narrower focus. Detectives asked about security cameras, door cameras, and vehicle dash systems. Some residents had cameras, others did not. Footage was collected where available. Most of it showed darkness, empty sidewalks, passing headlights. A few frames were flagged for closer review, but nothing immediately identified a shooter. Investigators reconstructed the timeline with precision. When Maria exited her home, when the shots were heard, when the emergency call was placed. The window was short. The shooter did not linger. That efficiency suggested familiarity or planning. Attention turned to people who knew Maria personally. This was not a declaration of guilt. It was procedure. Statistically, victims are more often harmed by someone they know than by a stranger. Detectives compared statements across interviews. They looked for inconsistencies, changes in phrasing, emotional responses that did not match the moment. These observations were documented, not acted on immediately. One individual's account raised questions. The details were small. Timing, location, certainty about where they had been. Nothing overtly incriminating, enough to warrant follow-up. Investigators reviewed the person's movements during the early morning hours. They checked phone location data where legally permitted. They compared that data to the established timeline. The results did not answer everything. They narrowed the field. At the same time, detectives evaluated alternative theories. Random violence was considered and deprioritized. The neighborhood history did not support it. A robbery was unlikely. Maria's belongings were untouched. A mistaken identity scenario was discussed but lacked evidence. The working theory became focused but cautious. Someone knew her routine. Someone knew when she would be outside. Someone had access to a firearm. Those statements were not conclusions. They were investigative anchors. As days passed, public information remained limited. Police asked for tips but released few details. This was intentional. Detectives wanted to preserve the integrity of statements and avoid contaminating witness accounts. Behind the scenes, pressure increased. Media attention grew. A nurse killed outside her home resonated. Community members wanted answers. Family members wanted movement. Investigators coordinated with prosecutors early, ensuring evidence collection met legal standards. Any mistake now could undermine the case later. Ballistic results returned with partial information. The weapon type was identified, but no immediate match was found in databases. That result neither confirmed nor ruled out prior use of the firearm. Detectives re-examined the scene with fresh eyes. They revisited the approach paths. They considered where a person could wait without being seen. They evaluated escape routes again. The conclusion held. This was not spontaneous. As the investigation progressed, detectives prepared for a direct step, a conversation that would test the strength of their working theory. Not an arrest, not yet. A confrontation designed to observe reactions and clarify timelines. This stage carried risk. Say too much and you reveal strategy. Say too little and you learn nothing. They chose their moment carefully. The case had moved beyond the unknown shooter phase. It had entered a more focused, more dangerous stage. Detectives believed they were close enough to ask hard questions face to face. They were also aware that once that line was crossed, there was no going back. Chapter 3. What remains? The decision to confront a person of interest was not made lightly. Detectives reviewed the evidence again before taking that step. Timelines, statements, digital records. Each piece was evaluated on its own and then as part of a larger picture. The confrontation itself was controlled and procedural. It was conducted according to legal standards. Investigators asked direct questions. They listened more than they spoke. They watched for changes in tone, hesitation, and inconsistencies. What emerged was a clearer boundary between what could be proven and what could not. Evidence established that Maria Beltran's killing was targeted. The timing aligned with her routine. The location aligned with her home. The method aligned with intent rather than impulse. Those facts were supported by scene analysis and witness accounts. Beyond that, the case became more limited. Some elements remained allegations. Others remained circumstantial. Investigators documented them carefully, but did not present them as conclusions. Prosecutors evaluated whether the available evidence met the threshold for charges. In public statements, law enforcement emphasized accuracy over speed. They confirmed the homicide. They confirmed the investigation was active. They did not announce an arrest at that time. If a warrant was executed, it was done under seal or without public detail. If evidence was seized, its contents were not disclosed. This restraint frustrated observers but protected the case. The official status of the investigation was later clarified. Either the case moved forward through the legal system or it remained unresolved due to insufficient evidence. In either outcome, police acknowledged the limitations they faced. Maria's family was kept informed through designated channels. These conversations were private. What was shared publicly was minimal out of respect and necessity. The community impact was visible. Early morning routines changed. Neighbors altered walking schedules. Cameras were installed where there had been none before. A sense of safety was recalibrated. Law enforcement conducted internal reviews. They assessed response time, evidence handling, communication flow. These reviews are standard but often unseen. They are how departments learn, even when answers remain incomplete. In reflecting on the case, investigators pointed to the same factors that defined it from the start. Timing, familiarity, precision. These elements suggested planning, but planning alone does not always leave proof behind. Some questions were answered, others were not. What is known is simple and irreversible. Maria Beltran stepped outside her home on a quiet Texas morning and never returned. Her death was sudden. It was violent. It altered lives far beyond that driveway. What remains is the weight of that moment, for her family, for the street where it happened, for the investigators who carry unresolved cases long after headlines fade. Justice, when it comes, is often imperfect. Sometimes it arrives fully, sometimes it arrives only in fragments. And sometimes it waits. The morning routine never returned to normal on that street.